Quilty and Tausch
begins now, and it begins with Devondre Campbell. He had a lot to say over the weekend, didn't he?
Seems that way, yeah.
Tausch, did you ever have a scenario during your playing career, because you ended your career as social media was coming into vogue, but do you remember a guy being as, I don't want to say disgruntled, I guess, but that's kind of what he comes off as unhappy as Devondre Campbell apparently is with how he was treated and used and disrespected on his way out the door in Green Bay?
I don't know if I ever remember somebody jumping into it as much with fans. There have always been players that feel like they're misused, especially players that don't play as much as they'd like. And in all honesty, most people understand that they can feel that way. Whether or not they're delusional or not, that's up to the interpretation of how you view it. But Devondre Campbell's situation, I find interesting, I guess is the word I would use, because he was picked up off waivers, correct? Or he was a...
No, they signed him in June, like at the end of the mandatory minicamp.
So he was not in high demand at the point where he was picked up. He was signed for the league minimum. And when you do that, you come in and your mindset is a certain way. And to his credit, he grabbed hold of that job and ran with it and had a great year.
He did.
And reasserted his market value. And correct me if I'm wrong, was Joe Barry the defensive coordinator when he came?
He was. It was Joe Barry's first year.
So that's where I lose a little bit of the woe is me for Devondre Campbell.
Well, he's got answers for you for that, Tausch.
Okay, well, let me hear him.
He can explain. What are there, like 15 tweets here, Jesse?
It's a lot of tweets.
It all started when he tried to explain why he was so good in 21 and then not as good in 22 and 23. Fair? I think we can all agree,
okay.
Right?
Sure.
Listen, I would have listened to if I would have listened to half the stuff they were telling me, I would have never went all pro. All year, all I heard was, can you do this? It'll help the scheme. I kept saying no all year in 2021. And look what happened. First team all pro. Fast forward to 2022, 2023 seasons. I tried to be a team guy and play within the system and do what they asked. Quote, be more visual on the quarterback and not look up routes. Back up from the line of scrimmage so you're not pressing every wide receiver or tight end. Look what happened. They had me and Quay out there looking clueless. SMH. He goes on then
shaking
as he starts
head.
To...
What that means.
It's a good clarification because, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. All they had to do was ask, and I would have been more than happy to clarify, but instead, the media all do what's easiest. Attack me and call me bitter when that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Well, that's part of when you don't engage with y'all, you guys are going to be more susceptible to going after him. Because you, Jason, you like everybody.
Yeah, I don't like him.
No, and does that taint your coverage of him?
No. I don't think so.
A little bit.
No, did I trash him at any point?
You weren't very complimentary.
He didn't play very well.
And you were very skeptical of him. Oh, he's not been playing. You were very skeptical of him re-signing. By the way, you'd have been right.
He also took to social media to announce, and I don't care who does this. Micah Hyde could have done this, who, as you know, I really like.
You like him a lot, yep.
If he had announced on social media he was no longer going to play through injury, I would have criticized him too. I did not think that was a good look for him.
It was not.
Devondre's screed continues with, the organization didn't even call me to ask if I wanted to take a pay cut.
No, they didn't want him back.
It's because they don't want you, and now you're demonstrating in some ways perhaps why. They just released me after going in the media and saying me and Aaron Jones were a part of the future plans. They could have just told me the truth. I could easily be bitter, but I'm not. There's a lot more here. He's I know, bitter. You know, by the way, I enjoy reading on the radio.
He's definitely bitter. Can we agree on that?
We can definitely agree on that. He talks a lot more about the defense and what he was asked to do, but this was the one that I particularly liked because this one I think is interesting because he's also taking credit for why they finally played better down the stretch defensively.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
You want to know why we played better?
Yeah, why, D?
Because I started going and having private meetings with Matt LaFleur, telling him we needed to be more aggressive, we needed more man, and we needed to blitz more. And what happened when they listened to me? We played well and won. It's no coincidence, all caps.
Oh, boy.
I didn't realize
that
that's what happened.
Is that guy there?
Yeah.
Do you believe him?
All I know is the truth. I tried my best to help the organization win, but it's hard to win when you aren't willing to evolve. When my coaches aren't willing to listen to feedback that can make us better as a team, there isn't much I can do. All I can say is that I tried my best.
Do you believe him?
I think there are definitely kernels of truth in his rant. I don't think there's a lot of Trumaning, as you like to call it, also mixed in. So I personally would like, because when you do this on social media, there are no tough questions being asked back to you. And I do think that that is a part of the job, is to be able to take a tough question and then acknowledge your own shortcomings while also criticizing those around you that he is doing here. And I only see one here. I don't see any acknowledgement at all of how he may not have been good enough.
I think
or
he said he wasn't healthy for part of it. Didn't he put that into that was part of the equation, wasn't it? That he was dinged up in, you know, obviously last year and 2 years ago.
Not in this particular diatribe.
Yeah, this just goes back to me. I look at this, and obviously Devondre Campbell felt misused in this system, and for offensive players, it's different. Linemen can't really be misused. Offensive linemen can't. Quarterbacks can, and I think wide receivers can. But defensively, there are different ways that you want your players to run, and a lot of it is scheme-based. You try to free up your best players, and then everybody has the role to fill, and you have to have guys that are willing to take on double teams and maybe not have a ton of stats. And maybe, you know, the part I don't fully understand is the, you know, well, the safeties blitz and we got to do this. And that's not, no coach is going to teach, hey, you guys both run in that B gap. I've never been around anybody that said anything like that. So there's disconnect. He didn't like the Joe Barry system. That is abundantly clear. By the way, Jaire Alexander didn't like the system. I'm guessing if you asked Darnell Savage, he would tell you, I don't like the system.
Mm-hmm.
If you asked Kenny Clark, would he say, I don't like the system? I'm guessing he'd say, I'm excited about the new system. So there are, as you put it, kernels of truth to what is going on.
Sure. No doubt.
And I think we always, as fans are looking at it, you want to support your organization because, as I've told you a million times, you can love these players, but players leave. And the cycle goes on, and you're always going to be rooting for the organization to be right. That doesn't mean, and by the way, Matt LaFleur, I think we all can say he did get more involved. He got more involved on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's part of the reason that he decided to move on is I don't think he wants to be doing that. I think he wants someone to take the bull by the horns and work this out and not have Devondre Campbell knocking on his door saying, y'all don't know what the hell you're doing. This is what we have to start. We can't sit there and play soft coverages, especially on third down. So I think you should look at this, and you always want players to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I always make fun of, well, it's my truth. What is the truth? There's, like I said, and you can quote me on this again, there's two sides to every story, and it's usually the third side that's right. There's always parts of each that you could look at and say, yeah, okay. And Devondre Campbell was not as good a player. Was that because he was hurt? He was not making the same amount of impactful plays. And then when you make comments like he did about not playing hurt, that does not set the tone that you're looking for, especially from someone that is supposed to be a leader on your team. So I think, as is the case a lot of times, everybody's got an expiration when it comes to your time in a certain place. Devondre Campbell's hit 12. It was time to move on for both sides.
So here would be what I would ask him if he made himself available. Because when he goes on this screed on Twitter on his way out the door, and then before he told us, when he did talk to the media, when he got his first team All-Pro selection, was that it was because the Packers finally used him the way he should be used. And that was how he explained how in his first, 6 years in the league, he wasn't a playmaker. He wasn't a first team All-Pro. And the Packers were finally the team that used him correctly after 4 years in Arizona and, or 4 years in Atlanta and 1 year in Arizona. Okay?
All right.
Now, if you're allowing there to be a back and forth, it's hard for me to read this and basically says, so what you're telling me is the only year that you were able to do exactly what you wanted, right? Because you claimed in the last 2 years, the reason why you weren't as effective is because you were trying to be a team player and doing what your coach has told you to do. And you told me before you had your all-pro season that you were being misused by those two teams, so that's why you weren't great, that you're basically telling me that in an 8-year NFL career, that the 7 years where you weren't that good were other people's fault, and the 1 year that you were great was because you did what you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's
you understand how that sounds, Devon.
Yeah, that's not sustainable. And by the way, if you are an all-time great, maybe I can listen to you. And if you're putting up, like Lawrence Taylor, I don't think he ever is going to be misused because he's going to do whatever he's going to do. And defensive coaches have to balance this. And that's where understanding your role is vital. Because I can remember times, and this is when Aaron Kampman was kind of humming along. He was in his Pro Bowl era. And he would rock inside on some things, and I'd be looking, and you know, you're always looking for cues as far as when guys are going to do something. And I'd say, Camp, how can you do that? There's nobody over that is going to be containing on the outside. And they said, well, if I feel like you're trying to reach me, I can do that. And I said, well, who's going to have the outside contain? They give you some leeway because they know you're a playmaker and you'll go make the play. Because if you don't, you get gashed like we did in that San Francisco 49er postseason game when nobody ever set an edge all day and Jimmy Garoppolo only had to throw 8 passes. So you better, if you're going to do that, you better be dominant. Otherwise, you're going to have to fit as a puzzle piece in this 11-person puzzle. And sometimes it sucks. There are guys that, the old two-gap system where you weren't going to make a ton of plays, and then the contract, when your contract comes up, well, you only had 5 sacks and you only had this. But Aaron Smith is a guy that I always admired up in Pittsburgh because, A, his arms were so long and I could never reach him when I was trying to block him. But he just did what he was supposed to do, and he didn't sit there, and he didn't, you never heard anything. And there are plenty of players like that. Devondre Campbell comes off as what you're saying, selfish, not being a team guy. But we
not
want,
my fault. Not
we
trimming.
Want him to be honest about his time in Green Bay. And the bottom line, and I've said this 100 times, time heals all. And Devondre Campbell will look back when his career's done, if it's 2 years, 3 years, whatever it's going to be. And the Green Bay Packers paid him like no other team has ever paid him.
Correct.
He was able to be a starter, and I believe he was a captain. And throughout all of this, he'll look back and he'll say he's disappointed. But every player, when they're cut or told, we don't need you anymore, is going to be pissed off. That's just how everybody's wired. Just like Aaron Jones doing the skull and all this other stuff, I promise you, when his time is done, he will rave about this organization.
Sure.
And how great it is. That's how this works. And typically players are advised to don't jump into this fray because you're not going to win. These are not winning. This is not a winning formula for him. And I'm not sure. I appreciate the fact that he's telling us, quote unquote, his truth on how this is played. But the bottom line on it is, if he was still playing at that level, they'd keep him. They decided not to, and I thought the interesting part was he felt like Quay Walker was also misused.
Yeah.
And how they're going
to
use...
I didn't even get to that part.
And by the way, we'll get to that in a little bit. By the way, I think he probably is right about Quay Walker being misused. And now, at some point, it can't always be about... You study film. You understand what's happening. You have to play within your system. But they also aren't going to say, don't go make plays. Read, react, and go. And it sounds like there was not enough of that under Joe Barry.
My point is...
So Devondre Campbell basically was... All the fans that are calling in and telling us Joe Barry didn't know what the hell he's doing, Devondre Campbell would have been one of those fans calling in the post-game shows and the shows and saying, yeah, you guys are right. He doesn't have a clue what the heck he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess what my point is that if you don't balance it out and you don't acknowledge, hey, there were times where I could have played better, at some point in this long diatribe, it loses some level when you combine that with what he has said previously about how he was misused by the Cardinals and by the Falcons, and now he was misused in the 2 years he wasn't as good in Green Bay, that it impacts your credibility. That's all. I do want him. Look, this is great. I'm glad to be talking about it. It pulls back the curtain. All I'm saying is it would be nice if you acknowledged your own failings along with critiquing everyone else. Because there's no way that you would have been a first-team All-Pro in 2022 and 2023 if you had just been used correctly and you didn't make any... Because you're not a perfect player. Last I checked, nobody is. Not even Tom Brady. What one thing that is perfect are the Golden Colorado Blue Mountains of Coors Light.
Indeed it is. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And you know what's great about Coors Light? It can be celebratory. It can be, I'm a little bit down in the dumpers. It can also be, boy, I don't know if I'm ever going to accomplish this. I'm going to continue to persevere. I'm going to fight, compete, strain. I'm going to showcase to my family that I'm going to keep fighting. And when I do, there is nothing more rewarding than cracking open a Coors Light when you roll that midnight blue in that three-piece nuggie. Yes, indeed. And you chill to perfection after you do it. That's what old T does. And it's Coors Light in my hand when I do. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It's not about entertaining opinions. You guys spend your hard-earned money to come watch us play. The least I can do is tell you the truth about what happened. But if you don't like it, you're more than willing to block me so you don't see it. Thank you for your service, Devondre Campbell. I want to get into what he said
Did
about
he block
Quay
you?
Walker. No, it's just what he tweeted at somebody.
Oh.
I'm reading. I don't follow him. He doesn't follow me. We don't have a lot of interest in each other's posts, I guess. But I do have an interest in what he said about Quay Walker. We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We're going to put a bow on Devondre Campbell here, but I wanted to get to this before we moved on. One of his final tweets in his lengthy interaction with fans. Quay is going to be just fine. They just had him thinking too much. He's a dog. You don't make dogs think. You just let them play. He's a great player. I think this system will fit him perfectly.
Nice. I'm excited. Yeah, it's awesome. I hope. I think we all thought we'd see more of Quay pass rushing, blitzing, showing his great athleticism. And through, he has been a tackle collector. He has had a ton of tackles throughout his time in Green Bay so far. Obviously, last year... you know, he had the questions coming in. Was he going to be able to control his actions on the field because of what happened, obviously, in that season finale against Detroit 2 years ago and some of the other stuff? And I think he, with meditation and Zen and all the other stuff that he's doing, seems to have, at least for last season, done a good job with that. He needs to have a big year. The team is counting on him. They need him to show that he is that next dog, as Devondre Campbell said, playing the Will linebacker spot in this new defense. So Derek Brooks played. I'm not trying to comp him to Derek Brooks, but that's when you're talking about going next level and being a place where a scheme will help you take that player to the next level. That's what, when you go a 4-3, you're asking more of that Will linebacker and the Mike than you do when it's a 3-4. You're asking those guys to just compile and go make plays, and that is going to be the hope of Halfley when he, you know, gets this thing all set up, is who are going to be our playmakers. It's going to free up Kenny to be more aggressive off the line, if, you know, if that's the case. Is it going to give you a Devondre or a Wyatt? Is it going to give you a chance for Wyatt to be more aggressive up there? All of those things, all I think everybody is looking for from the defensive side of the ball is, let's be more aggressive. We need to make more impactful plays. That's all everybody's asking. That's why you go out and pick up a Xavier McKinney. That's what you're looking for in your next group of guys, is playmaking ability and positioning these guys to make those plays. And Devondre Campbell didn't feel like that was the case.
Everybody loves the idea of being more aggressive. That's all we ever talk about. They're going to be more aggressive. Is that not also, on the other side of the coin, the danger of being more aggressive leading you to giving up more big plays? And big plays are often how you get yourself beat.
Yeah, there's a give and a take with everything. You know, if you want to make, you want to hit it big out in Vegas, you got to bet big. You're not going to hit it big by playing $10 and $15. You have to go big. And you can lose. You can give up big plays. And it felt like, and I think where some of the players were frustrated, it's, well, you're not letting me eat. You're just kind of, you're giving us little, you know, subsistence. Is that what those farmers used to be back in the old days? Subsistence farmers? Where it was, you know, all rationed. These guys don't want to be rationed. They want to go and eat and hunt. And, you know, there's certain times where you need to pull back. And you have to say, well, we have to be smart about it. We can't just sit here and blitz and do all this stuff all day and leave our corners one-on-one, because you can win 6 out of 8 one-on-ones. But if you lose 2 of them and you give up a 70 and a 60-yard touchdown pass, it ain't a winning day. So how do you balance that and be selective with your aggressiveness and not continually give up big plays? When you do that, that's the formula. And if you watch Spagnuolo out in Kansas City, he kind of has that figured out. He'll give up some stuff, but he forces you to be precise with what you're doing, and he is taking it to you. That's, I think, what Packer fans are hoping for, and I think Quay Walker's going to be a huge part of that.
Well, if you go to Vegas and you bet big, you take your winnings home, then be smart and invest it wisely at Associated Bank with your personal banker. Check out AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more about Packers checking, so your money can work for you, as it always does at Associated Bank, and you can support your favorite football team as well. You get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, both in-store and online, and you get that great customer service and your nifty Packers debit MasterCard as well. Go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. We'll shift gears, but still talk a little more Packers next. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh, no, I missed that story. Where did he go?
I was too busy shaking dice.
Yeah.
Are you being serious right now?
No, but if you'd like to share with people who
Pittsburgh
maybe missed
Steelers
the story.
For a sixth-round pick. Which, again, I've said, we're not playing rookie quarterbacks if you're a good, strong organization. You're just not going to. Not until Thanksgiving. And now, the Bears continue to prove that they don't know what the hell they're doing. And I don't know what they're thinking, why they needed to trade Justin Fields for a sixth round pick. And then Pittsburgh's not even going to let him compete. Why Justin Fields would be happy about that, I don't know. But this just reiterates again why, and I sent you this thing, and I don't know if this is where the tweet comes from, Ross, or not.
No, it's not.
But the tweet about 48 starters since 1993 and all this other stuff, you want to know how you do it? Because you keep doing this. And now there's rumors going around. Well, does he really want to play in Chicago? Can he pull an Eli Manning? Are you sure that he even wants to come? Like, I would hope that the Bears, I guess I don't care, but this just shows you that dysfunction of what the hell they're doing and why the Green Bay Packers and what they've done continually puts them in places to be successful, and these guys aren't.
This is true. I guess, it doesn't pain me to say that I agree with you.
Why would they do this?
I don't know. Because
they don't want him to be uncomfortable? Because
yeah,
they don't want Justin Fields to
They did him a favor, I guess.
They're not doing him a favor.
They had five or six teams express an interest per Courtney Cronin.
Okay.
And this was the team that he preferred to go to. Preferred to go there even after they had acquired Russell Wilson, and they intend on him being their starting quarterback beyond this year, according to reports. So I don't know what exactly was more preferential for him to go to Pittsburgh. It does allow him, I suppose, to hit the reset button and kind of take a year, and if Russell Wilson stays healthy and is productive, to kind of find himself again without having to be under center every Sunday and struggling.
But why now? Why not wait until after the draft when everything kind of falls into place? Now you've completely pigeonholed yourself.
Correct.
Right. You've put yourself in a position where Caleb Williams, he don't want to go there. He just said, I'm not going there. I'm not coming. Uh-huh. And then what? What are you going to do then? Ask Pittsburgh if they'll trade him back for a fifth? Like, what are you doing? I guess I don't understand the rationale for... Because for as much as we gave Brian Gutekunst grief about the Jordan Love pick, what Aaron Rodgers could say, trade me? I guess he could. And what happens? You don't have to acquiesce in all these scenarios. Justin Fields is in no position to say, I'm not going to come to camp, or I'm not going to do this. He's not in that spot. He wants to show the rest of the league that he can still play quarterback. Chicago would have been a good spot for him to learn and to grow. And for you to do that, you're not doing anybody any favors by doing it. And it just shows you why organizations continue to get the quarterback position wrong. The Bears are exhibit A again about why that's the case.
Well, maybe they'll get lucky and Caleb Williams will be happy to play in Chicago and be their first great quarterback since.
And it would have been nice for him and Justin Fields to probably work together.
Yeah, let me do a little more research in the break, see what kind of explanations there are out there for why they did the deal when they did. Why don't you tell me about your Fortrea, and I'll do that research. Fair?
Sounds fair to me, and if you're looking to go to the draft, or you're looking to go on a nice spring break trip, or, Jesse, what do you got at the house? You need some new stuff done. What are we looking for?
Maybe we were talking about a fence this morning.
If you're looking for a new fence, Fortrea has you covered. Couple studies to get you a little cash in your pocket. Healthy adults, ages 18 to 60. BMI of 18 to 32. Study involves two stays, 15 nights. Grab yourself almost $14,000 for your time and participation. Also have a trial where they're looking for healthy adults, ages 18 to 55. A little heavier, 18.5 to 32. Study involves one stay of 14 nights. You grab yourself $6,566 for your time and participation. They also have other studies. If you're a little leaner and you're looking for others, they also have some of those, as Jason mentioned earlier last week. Just head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Talk a little bit more about how stupid the Bears are, and then we'll get to Ross Uglum in the 11 o'clock hour. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Money rain from the sky above, but people
continuing ripping the Bears, and deservedly so.
But did you find that interesting, though? I guess I don't understand why. Because what the draft is what? About a month and some change away, is that right?
About 5 weeks. So yes.
What's the rush? You don't know how. I mean, you have the first pick, and everybody assumes you're going to take Caleb. There have been some. He didn't do the physical. Down in Indy. What's the hurry? Pittsburgh will give you a 6-round pick in June for him.
Isn't it possible they were just trying to be nice to Justin Fields?
Here is what Courtney Cronin. Nice
to, okay, what does Courtney have to say? I still love when Courtney did that with Cap and J Hood. That was. Have you seen that?
I still have not watched it.
Blanket, awesome.
I thought I was.
Blanket. Blah.
A quarterback coexistence.
I wish we could swear on air.
Well, you could.
I'm not David Bakhtiari, so I can't.
Or Greg Gard or Charles Woodson primarily. A quarterback coexistence with Justin Fields and first-round rookie was never going to be the right setup in the eyes of the highest decision-makers at Hallis Hall. Then she wrote a very good story outlining that mentality. And your argument is, I don't care if the players weren't going to be comfortable in that setup. It protects the organization.
It does.
And that's what you should have done.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes. And by the way, was it going to be the best setup for Alex Smith when you drafted Patrick Mahomes?
And Ryan Poles was in Kansas City for that.
Yeah, it wasn't in Aaron Jones' best interest to not pay him and keep him in Green Bay, and they did that. And I'm sure the Bears have 100 things I could go through the list of, well, they should have done this, and that wasn't in the best interest. Justin Fields, they don't owe Justin Fields jack. He didn't win anything for him. This isn't like Tom Brady winning 6 championships, and they say, we're going to let you go and not tag you because we owed it to you. So I am always about trying to, you know, make things as good for the players as you can. But the organization needs to... The same thing with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. It's the same basic principles of this. Is it that you don't want Caleb? Like what? Caleb Williams knows it's going to be his gig. Justin Fields had been in position to say, "Yeah, I got a chance to prove myself another 8 weeks.
I'm going to kick butt until they take the job away from me."
Yeah, and by the way, Kenny Pickett with Pittsburgh didn't want to compete, and they said, "Deuces B." I have no problem with that. But in this case, I didn't hear Justin Fields say, I don't want to be here. Nobody else wanted you, brother. Like, they just didn't. So I don't understand. I have no problem with them trading him if that's what they really wanted to do, but that's not what they wanted to do. So, Jesse, yeah, the question is, isn't it right that they just wanted to be nice? When have you ever – the organizations don't do things – just to be nice. If it doesn't matter, they can do it, yes. But for the overall betterment of your team, did the Bears get better by doing what they did? The answer is no, they didn't.
Nope.
So doesn't that mean that maybe they were being nice because they didn't care about the betterment of the team?
No. The bottom line is they thought that it was an untenable situation. Whether they're right or wrong, they believed that it was going to be too dramatic, too whatever, too divide the locker room, because they do have a lot of, on the roster, they have a lot of loyalists to Justin Fields who like him as a teammate, as a leader, as a player, just not as a great quarterback. And
well, then the Packers shouldn't have traded Aaron Rodgers because he had a lot of loyalists too.
I understand. No, wait a minute. They should have traded him.
No.
Because then they don't have both of the guys on the team. Just like when they traded Brett Favre.
No, I know.
It was untenable to have them both there at the same time.
Okay.
So that's why they traded Fields and took a ham sandwich for him. Because they did not want to have a divided locker room with a bunch of people saying, we don't need this rookie. We want our guy. We're loyal to our guy. That's part of it. You could say they're wrong, but that's part of their thinking. As I read Courtney's story... Like, they could have waited. They could have waited until during the draft if a team that was trying to get a quarterback in the first round didn't get him. And then you could have dealt Justin Fields, who would have been an alternative choice for that team, for what they were hoping for was a day two pick, a second or third rounder, plus a conditional pick in 25.
That is not what they got. They got a sixth-round pick in 25 that can go up to a fourth-rounder if Justin Fields plays half of the Steelers' snaps next season. So they could have waited till then. Their other option, as Courtney outlines, they could have waited till training camp and somebody blows out their ACL in a training camp practice and suddenly a team needs a quarterback and you think you might be able to get more for Justin Fields then.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that. I don't think they did it to be nice to Justin Fields. I think they thought that it would be a circus if they kept him. They disagree with you. I agree with you. And I have my I agree with Tausch shirt. I can put it back on. But, again, they felt like that was... Can you tell me, as someone who was in an NFL locker room for 11 years and who was there in 2008 when there were people that certainly, I'm guessing Donald Driver and a few others, definitely wanted Brett Favre to still be the quarterback instead of the kid. Wouldn't it have been a mess if they would have actually said, okay, Brett, you're back, and we're going to make you the backup and have Aaron Rodgers looking over his shoulder waiting for Brett Favre to take over for him? Like, isn't that untenable?
Yeah, that would have been untenable. This...
But this was not.
No. And if it is, shame on everybody involved. But, again, I don't care if the Bears are good or not. That's not... It's just, it's intriguing to me that you can hear these same things and then people saying, oh, the Packers are so lucky. They are so, it's just, I don't know how this stuff keeps falling in their lap. Well, no, it doesn't. And I wanted, the reason I wanted to bring this up where I think, you know, you're probably thinking, well, it's the Bears. The Bears are a competitor, obviously a big rival. The Green Bay Packers, they make these decisions, and while they're uncomfortable and it makes it, I guess, untenable in the locker room, and I'm sure Aaron was pissed. He's drinking scotch and doing all this stuff. You also, you have to continue to do both, build for the future and for the, you know, for the present. And while I still believe that that decision was way too early because you just gave given him a four-year deal when they made that draft, the I don't think you can ever look at it and say, you want competition in your locker room. You want, Goody said it 100 times, I want the receivers to compete. I want that fifth guy competing for the first guy's reps. I want that. Quarterback is always different, but you can't just acquiesce in a case in this scenario when it doesn't do your organization its best. And when you continue to do that, your organization doesn't reach the levels that you hope, and then you sit there and you complain and question why it doesn't happen. Well, why isn't it happening? Because you acquiesce and you do these things, and then you put all your eggs in a basket that ain't ready to carry the load that has, you don't have, their bottom's going to fall out, and you're going to wonder, where the hell are my Easter eggs? Well, your basket wasn't strong enough because you don't know what the hell you're doing. And now all my kids are sitting there crying because they don't have any Easter eggs. And I'm sitting there digging around for, oh, hopefully this one's not too cracked. Well, maybe we can win 6 games. That's where the Bears are at.
And you lost the money one that Helmut had hid because you didn't have a strong enough basket.
Well, you're not even hiding anything. You're putting it out there, and now it's Caleb Williams gets sit and say, well, why the hell would I want to go here?
How far away do you think the Easter eggs are rolling if they fall out the bottom of the basket?
Well, what kind of hill are you
best.
On?
It's not his best.
No, what kind of hill are you on?
Just bend over and pick
it's
them up.
It's a San Francisco Easter egg hunt, yes.
My point is that the eggs are broken because they fell out of the basket, and then you're sitting there trying to make it. You're digging up yolks off of, off of the grass, throwing them in an omelet. You don't. Why does this omelet taste like grass? Well, because you know what the hell you're doing.
Wait a minute, now they're regular eggs. They're not Easter eggs.
Well, Easter eggs can be regular eggs, right? That's what you
well,
do.
They're usually
the
hard boiled.
And everything. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't actually look for real eggs, do you?
I'm not in charge of the Easter egg hunt.
Oh my God. It's called painting a picture of why you have dysfunction.
It was a finger timely painting. Analogy. It was wasn't bad. They're just not rolling away very fast.
Give your car a brand new set of tires. With help from Fleet Farm. Right now, when you buy 3 Cooper tires with installation, you'll get the 4th tire free. Don't put all your eggs in 1 tire. Put it in 4. Shop for your car and
rotate them, too. Well, you can't rotate them when you trade them away. Then you only have 1 tire, and you're trying to drive down a car with 4 tires. You only got 1.
I thought you were saying rotate the eggs, like when you're dying them, because you can't
rotate
get just
tires,
one side.
Rotate eggs. Now put them all in 1 basket and just hope. Oh, it'll be an effort this time. Mm-hmm.
Shop for your car and schedule auto service today at FleetFarm.com. Also, the Fleet Farm mobile app is your place to go to find everything you need for your everyday life right in the palm of your hands. I've got it. It's great. I get to keep track of all my rewards that I've got. I've got some Fleet Bucks I got to use. Download the Fleet Farm mobile app today in the Apple App Store or in the Google Play Store. Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Ross Uglum. If you're wondering who that is, we'll explain. Next, it's Will D. Tausch.